35 meters when I was out in California. There used to be a net that was on at nighttime, and I think they called it something like radios that glowed in the dark. And it was all these people that, it was kind of like the only people that were on the net were people that were using tubes, and they would talk about them. And I think the only thing that I had that I've ever had that had tubes was, well, I did have a shortwave radio, like a Zenith. It was an old radio that a neighbor had given to me. I think it was from like World War II or somewhere around then. And then when I first got into ham radio, my uncle gave me a Kenwood TS-520S, which had some tubes in it, I think, for the amp part of it that allowed it to do 100 watts or whatever it did. But everything else I've had has pretty much been solid state ham gear, AC6NW.
Walt already knows about it already. I done told him about it, but there's a website called Radio Boulevard, Radio BLVD, RadioBoulevard.com, and you'll see a lot of those tube radios like he's got on that website.
AC6IW. I bought the... I'm getting into Heath kits now, and I ordered, I bid on this thing on eBay. It's an old Heath kit, SP301, and I hadn't even powered it up yet. I don't have a variable transformer to bring these things back up to life slowly where you don't blow the capacitors or the tubes in it. And I'm going to go over there to AK's yard sale. I don't know. I'm looking for a SP401 transmitter to go with this thing. I want them to set me up a novice station. Back when I got my novice ticket, I had a Holocraft SX-99 receiver and a Johnson Viking transmitter. And you talking about something glowing in the dark, that sucker would heat the room up. And I had joined the Spartanburg Radio Club. And they all came out and helped me put up a dipole and give me a big map of the world mounted on cardboard to go on the wall. And back then, they wasn't no transceivers. Well, they were. Kenwood was just coming out with them. But you had to have a separate receiver and separate transmitter. Then you had to have a switch go up there to switch back and forth from your radio, your transmitter, to the receiver. And the guys there in Spartanburg really, really helped me out a lot. And then I got married, and ham radio wasn't in the project then. But back when I got into it, Andy, you built most of your stuff. Like I was saying before, I'd go to these TV shops and get off. They'd be glad to give you everything they had. TVs that nobody wanted to pay to get repaired. Or I'd like to get that horizontal tube out of them. But like I say, you had to build, well, if you didn't have money, you built your own receiver and transmitter. And this hobby is a never-ending learning process. Back to you, AC6IW.
fun hobby, and I'm glad to be back in it again. So it's after midnight right now. We've talked quite a long time, so that's pretty cool. I'm just sitting here doing some work on the computer, so I'm starting to fade out right now. I might listen, go over to ACAP a little bit to listen around there, maybe try something there, but I think I'm getting ready to maybe go to sleep in a little bit. But it was great talking to you, all of you, and I know I'll be back on the net again, AC6IW.
LZI. Well, I had to step in. Around 11 o'clock, I've always got to go and take my insulins, and I see y'all was still in here when I come back in here, and I thought I'd say a few more words, but yeah, you put it well right, Walt. That website that you say demonstrates the transmitters from the receivers, and then when the transceivers started coming back, and being that you used to get QST years ago, you know how classic radio is, just like this, and I was telling you about before. The current one here, the Hallicrafters FPM 300 that you talked about in then, and for many years, let's see, when was it? Early 80s, I used to get heat tip magazines. I bought a thing or two from them and a frequency guide too from them, so I was aware of some of that stuff. And the first HF receiver I had was a HR10B. It was only CW and AM, and of course we know there's not as much AM now as there was when that thing was originally sold. And got it the realistic DX160, which would receive sideband, but as I've come to find out, this 718 does a lot better. The other station, the 6 station, you can go ahead now, KI4LCI.
Have you still got that transmitter, Andy? Boy, I'd like to get a hold of one. Back when I got into the hobby, I couldn't afford to buy a radio, and this guy, Billy Burdett, down there in Spartanburg, he run a TV shop down there, and he was a ham operator, and I hooked up with him, and he sold me that OSX-99 Hollercrafter. Them things are built like a tank. I've got one in here now. I'm waiting on the recap kit. And I'm trying to find me a CW AM and CW transmitter to go with it. Either I'd like to get a heat kit to go with this 301. But I'm watching eBay and looking for a 401 transmitter. But I'm trying to put me a station together, a novice station, and crystal control. But man, them crystals are high now. I've seen them on eBay for $15 a piece. KI4LZI, K4OIM, and AC6IW. Thanks for joining the group tonight, and I hope you check us out every night at 9 o'clock, Jeff. So, looks like the only one in here is KI4LZI. Back to you, Andy.
Well, I was gone for a little bit, so I didn't know for sure how many other people was in here. Oh, that DX160 was a receiver. The HR10B Heath was a receiver. They were both just receivers. The HR10B Heath, I got it down there at the flea market at Anderson. I'm trying to remember it was 1978, I think I got it. Then the next year, I got that realistic DX-160 from Radio Shack. I had them both until I got this 718 here, this IC-718. And for single sideband, the 718 does a lot better job than the DX-160 receiver was.
I'm surprised at the Anderson Chocula. I was over there one day, and this guy had a Swan 500. And he didn't know what it was. He didn't know he had to have a license to talk on it. And I bought that thing for $20 and brought it home. And that thing would do about 140 watts on CW. Because back then, I just had that novice ticket, and I was working CW. That was the only thing I could do, except up on 10 meters. I had 28.3 to 28.5, but back then, the band was open. You could talk all over the world on 25 watts on 10 meters, and the sun cycle now is fixing to come around. I sat here today, and I was talking to one guy, and another guy come in up in Kingsport, Tennessee. And I thought we was going through Echo Link, but it wasn't. I mean, it put it. He's hitting a repeater up there on Mount Mitchell, and we were back and forth. There's other people talking about 2 meters was opening up, but that's my DX station on 2 meters, KI4LZI, K4OAM.
Must have been before I turned the receiver on. I turned the scanner on, what was it, around 3 o'clock, 3:30, somewhere around that term, and heard NZOTR on in hearing someone else. I didn't have it on at that time, but I heard another ham that I know that lives above 6 mile, W4TWX, saying on his 440 machine earlier today that there had been a Ugandan station on 20 meters somewhere during the day today.
Yeah, K4OM. Yeah, I heard that guy talking. He even checked into the net tonight over at 6 Mile. And after I signed off and cleared from him, Dave W4DJW come in. He said, "Walt, do you realize how far you talked today on the repeater?" Dave looked him up on Google. I think it was 190 miles from here. I think so. I ain't sure. But I couldn't believe I thought his name was Mike. I got him over here. I got wrote down in the logbook. I don't remember his tall sign. It was KM4ISI, Mike. And I talked to him on this radio on 10 watts, Andy. Yeah, 4LZI, K4OAM.
LZI. That's like that guy, when was that, a few weeks ago on Tuesday night, that was coming from Columbia, and he was hearing 2 6-tenths, and I pointed out to him about the tone script on the output of this repeater. When you're in errors like that guy was, you heard earlier that it was back off up around northeast Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia up there. That's where the tone squelch comes in good and handy, so that you don't hear more than one at the same time, because as Dave told you, there's another 6-10 back off up in there. And on the previous ham, I don't remember if you remember him or not, because back in the day, you was like myself, you could only monitor, but I well remember heard him say this, K4TLY, Molly, before he died, he used to work at a fire station part-time up here near Traveler's Rest. And he had a 2-meter radio there and up on their fire tires there. And I remember him saying on here that when this repeater here wasn't in use, he could hear that and off up there and work it just fine.
K4LCI K40AM. Dave W4DJW. He was listening to me talk to the guy, and it was just unreal to be able to talk to me, talk to him at four. Logging as a DX station on 2 meters. I am going to send him a QSL card and see if I get one back. But I use Logbook of the World and EQRZ logging for who I talked to on here. And then I got my 2-meter logbook. It's paper. I have to write everything down on it. But this is a heck of a hobby. You always learn. And I started this round table thing to help the guys, not only new to ham radio, but new to the area, to try to help them out. And I've had so many people thanking me for doing this, Andy. And everybody thinks because you net control that you want to get everybody's name down, where they at, all that, and hurry up and get it over with. It ain't that way with me. I'll stay here, and even though we call it round table, but it's here for right you to start ask questions and get answers from people like you and Gary and Dave and Larry. We really appreciate it, Andy. KI4LZI K4OIM.
KI4LZI, you talking about propagation here on 2 meters and on this very frequency here? I don't remember when this was. This had to been about whenever that hurricane down there off the coast down there of Myrtle Beach was sitting down there and just spinning and not moving. It was during that time. Me and some other stations was on here about this time of night here on this frequency here. And someone from down there popped in here on this repeater here and told us we was interfering with their emergency communications. Because wherever it was down there, they got a 610 down there. We didn't know anything about it, but once we found out about it, we took and signed off here and went to another repeater. But during that time, that 610 that was down there somewhere, they was conducting some emergency communications regarding a hurricane, tropical storm that was taking place down there, and we didn't know anything about it until that station popped in up here on this one here and told us that.
Hurricane Irma. That's about, what was it, 3 years ago, Andy?
Can't keep track with all of them. I just know it was down there on the coast down there just sitting down there spinning, flooding everything, wind. If it wasn't for the fact of that, I wouldn't probably even remember that contact taking place. But they was using a 610 down there, and we inadvertently didn't know that we was interfering with them. But one of them from down there come up on this and here and told us that.
I was talking to that guy up there in Tennessee. After I signed off with him, Dave W4DJW come on, and he said that they have a 610 repeater up there the same as this one. But I talked to him about 5 minutes, I guess, and he started fading away, and he said I was fading away. And he wanted to know if I was on echo link, and I'd already told him no, straight RF. And it's just strange the way the propagation's running, going now. I'm glad to see the sun cycle go this way, because I remember about, 10, 11 years ago, I had bought a Radio Shack, what was it, HTX-10, I believe it was the number. It was a 2-meter mobile radio, 25 watts, and I took it home, set it up in this little room, and bought me a 12-volt power supply to hook to it, and I didn't have an antenna. I had a 20-foot drop cord. I cut the ends off of it and cut it back to, I believe, 8'6", and then unzipped the thing and put a center insulator in it, run my coax up there and hooked up to it, and I hooked it up the trees, and that thing was in an inverted V. It was, couldn't have been over 10 foot high. And I worked the world on that thing on 10 meters, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
LZI. Yeah, I used to get the Radio Shack catalogs too back in the day when Radio Shack actually had radio gear and ham gear, like I was saying about that realistic DX-160. That I had. I know a couple of you was talking about AK earlier. I don't remember when it was when I was down at his place 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. He had a DX-150 sitting down there at the time that he was doing something with. It was.
3 or 4 of them old Radio Shacks. And they were all transistorized. I've got this Lafayette HA-600 sitting here. I bought that Silent Key up in, I can't think the name of it. It was up there in North Carolina, way back up in the mountains. My daughter took me up there, and we cut off the gravel road up there in Fairview, North Carolina. And I know we went winding around that mountain at least 5 miles when we got up there to the house. And I went up there, and the lady had these, she had this HA-600 and a HA-63. It ain't worth repairing. It didn't have a back on it, a chassis, and everything's rusted. But the tubes are good in it. I'm going to use it for a parts radio, but that HA-600, it's got a bad capacitor in the power supply. If it's a really strong station, it'll pick it up. But the rest of the stations, it just hums on it. It's got a leaking capacitor in the power supply there. I'm done ordered, paid for it. Or went to the Radio Boulevard, but I don't think nobody's being able to get any parts now. They got all them ships out there off the coast of California, and Biden won't let them come in and unload on account of the virus. KI4LZI, K4OM.
LZI. You know, to be completely honest with you, I'm surprised you have to get any parts for any of those, ain't you? Here, to be completely honest with you right now, I mean, and that problem you was talking about earlier you had, I assume it was with this 2-meter radio here when it went to 146,700. Now, the brand new stuff don't have this, but I've got one that I use in the pen, too. It's a Yaesu 2400H, and it has a memory battery in it. And when that memory battery goes, it loses everything in memory on it. Kind of like the realistic HTs are.
K40AM. Andy, I'm talking on one of those old Yaesu radio sounds, the 2800s. It's got a, your mic plugged in on the side. It's got a bunch of different pins in it, and it's got a plug on the front of it with, what is it, that PL239 connector to hook the microphone into on the front. But when I bought the thing, I went down to, I bought this thing off of eBay. I think I bid on it. I want it for $30. And so far, I ain't had no complaints on it. I'm talking to you now only on 5 watts, KI4LZI, K40AM.
LZI, you're doing good on 5 watts. Well, I've just learned that some of these older transceivers, you know, that, and I was telling you about there, I think it was manufactured somewhere about 93, 94, something like that. Just like the realistic HTs was in the mid to late 90s, and some of those had memory batteries in them, and if you, it goes dead on you, you'll find out when everything goes in it.
Absolutely correct. This one got to where I'd shut it off at night, and when I'd go up there to go to bed, come back down the next morning to turn it on, it was on 147.000, and I have to turn it back manually to get back on the repeater. But the battery was dead, and I replaced it. And I've got a, can't remember what model of Kenwood I got out there in my truck. I'm thinking about swapping them out, bring that one in here and use it for a base station, because it's got upper sideband, lower sideband, AM and CW on it. And I don't drive my truck that much. The only place I go is up to the convenience store up here in Edmond, then back down here to the house. And if I'm mobile and I hear somebody, it's like a cell phone, somebody call me, I won't answer it because I'm driving. I ain't got time to talk, Andy. Now, I'm thinking about bringing that Kenwood in here and using it as a base station. And, but man, I love Yaesu radios. I've owned about everything. ICOM and Yaesu and Kenwood. Always got a good audio report on the old Kenwood radios. They really did have good audio. And I had ICOM 751A. That was about one of the best radios that ICOM ever put out. But now I'm talking on HF. I got a FT950. And this thing blow your mind. It's got so many menus in it. Equalizer for your microphone. It's got an equalizer for the sound and all of that. And I'm still learning. I got the manual here, but I'm still learning this radio. And I've had this thing about 4 or 5 months now, Andy. KI4LZI, K40AM.
For LZI, well, the Yaesus I got, most I bought because of the price of them, you know. I've I've heard Kenwood ears real, real good, but they're just too rich. Money-wise for me to spend it, and as a result, I bought most of what I've got here as far as BHF, UHF goes, is Jesus because of the price being what it is. They were cheaper than, especially the Kenwoods.
On eBay, I'm trying to find me a signal tracer, but I've been looking at these FT950s on there. They go in for about $200 to $300 more than they cost when they was brand new. All of these companies like HRO and several of them out there that sell radios, they can't get them because they're sitting out there on the cargo ship off the coast of California because they can't come in and unload because they quarantine about the virus. And that is really driving the price of radio equipment way up, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
Yeah, I've heard others, like Michael say, another W4TWX, and a few others that gets over on his repeater where I was hearing that earlier today about the Ugandan station. Some of them saying the same thing, but as bad as it is about it for the radios, we got these chips in these newer cars today, too, and I mean, you can't get around it almost.
Virus really messed up everything. And I'm not getting into politics or something, but that free money, that stimulus check, ain't nobody wants to go back to work, Andy. They can sit at home and get money. I can't believe my grandson, he goes to kindergarten up here, and because my daughter is on unemployment, she'd fill out an application for him to get free lunches. And yesterday, in the mail, he got a food stamp card where he can get $376 worth of food off of a food stamp card. And my daughter was tickled to death. We took off. She said, "Daddy, I'm not giving this card to him. He ain't but 5 years old." I said, "All he'd buy was candy." But I can't understand why the government's just giving away, giving away, and giving away, and we going deeper and deeper in debt and having to borrow money from other countries to keep up with this giveaway program they got going. I just don't understand it, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OIM.
As you say, we'll discuss it when we're... I'm hoping to make that ham fest down at Darwin Wright Park. I'm hoping to. And we can discuss that down there, but I mean, there's nothing that doesn't affect, but it's buying a IC7300, going and buying a brand new automobile. All this now has chips in it and semiconductors. And without it, it might be months, it might be years. You don't know for sure when you'll get it.
I always check QRZ every morning when I come down here. I'll sign in to it and look at the radios down there they got for sale or other stuff, ham equipment. But I can't believe the way the prices have went up on used equipment. And getting parts, Andy, 20 year ago, it's back, it's older than that, back in the 90s. I could go down here to Spartanburg to Harley Electronics and buy a match pair of six SJ6 tubes. They are the sweep tubes that went in the old black and white TVs. I could buy a match pair of them for $14. And when I rebuilt that old Yaesu FT-101EE, it had bad panels in it. I paid $175 a piece for it out of Russia. I ended up selling radio for $100 cheaper than what it cost me to put recap it and put new files in it. KI4LZI, K40AM.
Well, I have heard, and I don't know, because I ain't the first 2 meter radio transceiver I had, if you'll think back, was a Clegg Mark III. That was the very first 2 meter transmitter I had. The silent key we're talking about, W4AKGAK, he gave my transmitter to me, transceiver to me for 2 meters. That was the first 2 meter transceiver I had. I have heard that crystals for that thing has to be ordered now from overseas as well. Because I have heard the international crystal manufacturer has gone out of business. And there may have been others at one time, but I don't know about them. KI4LZI.
Yeah, K40AM. Yeah, they went out of business. And I think China's about the only place you're going to get one. And if we go to war with China, they ain't no sense in it. Because everything we get is from China. And buck knives, I've always carried a buck knife. You know, I got five or six of them here in the drawer. And some of them, they made in China. It's like Walmart, when they open up, if everything in there was made in the USA. You go in there at Walmart now, everything you buy, as far as clothes or anything, is made in China or either Vietnam and Taiwan. And I don't know. I don't know who's to blame for it, whether it's Biden or Trump, but all the technology that China's got was stolen from the United States, and I don't know, but I ain't getting into politics. I'd like to find me a heat kit, CWAM, transmitters. I just got, well, I like working CW Andy, and I want to get me an old novice station put back together. I'm going to have to tear another wall out of here to get room for it. I'm down here in a 30-foot camper. Got into the living room and got a big office desk here with my radio equipment on it. Then I got a bookshelf over here with radio equipment on it, waiting on parts. And if I look to my left, that's where most of my test equipment's at. But everything in here, I'm just sitting idle. I can't get parts. Everything's sitting on a cargo ship out there off the coast of California. And hey, once they're out there 14 days, it looks like they'll let them come in and unload. But they ain't taking nothing in. And I said, seen on the internet today where they're going to be a food shortage. Toilet paper's going to be short again. Paper towels. I just don't know, Andy, KI4LZI, K40AM.
4LZI. Way things is right now to the way things was in 1941, from what I have read about, is altogether different now to what they was then. You wasn't alive then, I'm sure you, but you read about it, I'm sure, too. Everything for that war effort in World War II was done right here in this country. I mean, everything. Planes, radios, matter of fact, as you'll read in some of that on RadioBoulevard.com, a lot of those radio manufacturers that you read about there with the surplus gear from services back then was made right here. They were boat anchors, but it was made right here. But when you got your radio manufacturers, say, as much as I hate, because they are dirt cheap, like we hear people talking about the Bofangs, the Watsons, the TYT. Yeah, they're dirt cheap. I'll grant you that, but they're coming from our enemy adversary. And in a case of, as you say, if a conflict breaks out, we're going to be hurting real bad. KI4LZI.
KI4OIM. Yeah, been watching YouTube about the World War II where everything was short. Copper, everything. They were short on everything. And they had them women forward volunteered to, well, they shut down the automobile manufacturing. But Ford volunteered to make the bombers, the B, I think it was a B-2. And all them women was in there doing men's jobs because the men were out fighting in the Army or whatever branch of service. And I think they said they was turning them planes out one every minute. It was amazing. I like to sit here and watch them YouTube videos about World War II. But Andy, I'm going to have to say 7-3s. That migraine headache pill after Tripoli started to work on me. I'm getting sleepy. So Andy, anybody else out there listening, I'm going to say 7-3s to everybody in. KI4LZI, K40AM. I'm going to say 7-3s, Andy, and thank you for sticking around. I enjoyed talking to you. And it takes about 45 minutes for that pill to work on me. I'm going to have to wobble back up to the house and go to bed. So 7-3s, Andy, and everybody out there that contributed tonight. And if Chris is still listening, thank you, Chris. Please, tomorrow night, check in with Gary, KI4L's, I can't remember his call sign, KI4DOS, I got it. So, I'm going to say 7-3s, and Andy, appreciate you sticking around again. KI4LZI, K40AM. I'm going to say 7-3s. I'll listen for you finally, Andy.
LZI, you go to archive, A-R-C-H-I-V-E, archive.org, and where it says pictures of an old radio and it says about old time radio, you bring that up. You can find any archive of anything of that used to be on radio prior to television. From the beginning all the way up to, I I don't know when, you know, but I have listened to a lot of those radio broadcasts, commercial radio broadcasts on AM from back during those years, in the early 40s and some of the 30s, and I tell you, things are so different now, it's unreal. K4OIM, KI4LZI.
373, Sandy. But back when I got my novice ticket, you had to know that radio inside out and what each component in that thing done, like the resistors and the capacitors. And you was even asked to draw out a Hartley oscillator or a Colpitts oscillator and explain to the instructor what each part of that circuit was and what it done. And you didn't just go out and buy a transceiver and buy an antenna. You built everything. Man, I go around these TV shops and they give me a truckload of old TVs. And I take them all and go, take the picture tube out. I'd walk across the road and put the picture tube on the railroad track and wait for a train to come and hit it. Because them things, boy, they don't explode, they implode. Yeah, but back then, you couldn't buy Yaesu or Kenwood or Icom. You built your own radio. You built a receiver and a transmitter. And I'm still trying to remember what issue that receiver and transmitter was in. QST. It built on the on a piece of pine board. I found it on the internet the other week, but I forgot where I went to find the thing. But I'd like to build me one. I've got all everything to build it. I got all kinds of parts. When radio shut down, this guy, the Silent Key, where I went up there, God, I can't think of the name of that town. It's up above Asheville. That Silent Key. I was going, he had a box there, well, his wife did, had a box of parts there. And I was going through it, and she said, ain't no need in that. If you want it, I'll take a dollar for it. I've got all kinds of resistors and ICs that Radio Shack had. Her husband went down and bought out everything. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but somebody's going to need a certain resistor and all. And every once in a while, I'll find something I need for a radio back there in that box. I got boxes of resistors on the tape, maybe 10 or 15 foot long. Got all kinds of parts. And I got a bunch of air variable capacitors for the old Hammerlin radio. Got a bunch of parts for them. I thought I'd give some of this stuff away just to get rid of it. It's hard to do.
It'll be any longer, but I could talk here half the night if we was on the right subject. So we'll go ahead and let you get some shut. I don't know what to tell you about. You was talking about getting rid of the parts, some of the resistors and all. The only thing I can do is tell you to take some to Hamfest, and you might find some of the right people there, somebody that's still building something might want some, because like I was telling you before about the QSTs. I have seen them at Ham Fest where people would just give them away, you know. No charge, just give them away. KI4LCI.
I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I got semiconductors all up sealed up in the bag. All this stuff is brand new. Yeah, I got two boxes, I'd say, 6 foot wide and about 3 foot long, just full of all kind of parts, all kind of. He's got some stuff in there he was building, I don't know what it was, but one big old board's got 5 parts on it. I've got all the sockets and the ICs, semiconductors to go with the sockets. Yeah. They just ain't nobody interested in building their own equipment now. That's as satisfying like we up Chad put up his antenna. I mean, it ain't nothing like the feeling of building something and putting it up and it worked rather than going and buying a mass-produced antenna or something, Andy. KI4LZI, K4OM.
Let's go. For sure. And I'm going to go here in a few minutes. It's about 1 a.m. That's generally close to that when I cut it off, but unfortunately, that's the only thing I can figure, you know, because you're right, there ain't many people that does that. I know another ham over here, KA2AXQ. He was kind of like you to a degree to about 4 or 5 years ago, somewhere in that range, whenever it was. He'd been a novice class licensee like you for I don't know how many decades, and he finally got his tech, and finally his general, and he'd been doing CW as like you had been forever and a day, and he's found out over time that, you know, people just don't rebuild stuff like that anymore, and I just, be honest, I don't know, I'm beginning to think he's about to give up on the hobby, because I noticed here a while back he'd let his license expire, so KI4LCI.
Yeah, for your ZIK4OM. I went on the QRZ webpage today, and they had this article on there about how much it costs now for a technician to set up a radio station, a base station, and they said the average cost is $1,200. I couldn't believe that. Then I looked around and looked at what I got in here. That Yaesu FD950, and then this Yaesu I'm talking on 2 meters. And then I've got the power supply set up there. And I got a TV down here for a monitor. And then my computer where I can sit here and see who I'm talking to and where they at and put that information in the log. And man, it come up. I've got over $1,200 in this stuff, but I'll be 74 in February, and I started building my station about 15 years ago, and I got way over $1,200 in it. I said, you know, I didn't realize how much money I spent on ham radio. But you can get a new beginner. They don't build their own no more. They don't buy about something. But I wish it back in the old days when you had to know what you were doing. You had, like on CW, if you got a, somebody tells you you got a key quit, you had to figure out where it was, get off there, and you got that straightened out. But anyway, I'm going to close that year. I'm going to say 7-3 for a second time. Enjoy talking to you, Andy. I got to get up there and get in the bed because that pill is working on me. So I'll say good night, Andy, and good night to anybody else that's out there listening. This is K4OIM. I'm signing off after Andy replies. Yeah, I'm going up, going to bed. 7-3, everybody.